Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Well, it's another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, and Jack Fritz, for the first time since whatever day it was, let's say November 30th or December 2nd or whatever the hell day they signed Trey Turner, that yo was for you, buddy. That yo was for Trey freaking Turner and our guy Jack Fritz.
Well, look at this. Fans.
Philadelphia. No, it was. It looked amazing, amazing. Like a truly amazing moment. Like, and we talked about it. You and I have talked, obviously, a ton, but I think the curtain call, easily the moment of the season to date. I doubt there'll be another moment outside of playoff wins or whatever that are as special as that moment was. And look, he has to play better moving forward. Obviously, really nice results over the weekend, the home run, the double, you know, five RBI this weekend, whatever. But if, let's just live in the if world, Jack. If Trey Turner looks like he did this weekend moving forward, like, we could have saved this guy's career, dude. Like, this could be a real turning point in the history of this franchise. And again, he, you know, it could also just be like he goes back and it's like, oh, well, fun moment. But, like, there's a chance that if this really does, if this got him out of his head, if this kind of let him know he doesn't have to push his heart and try his heart or whatever, like, man, can you imagine if we're looking back, like, years from now being like, remember when Philadelphia saved Trey Turner's freaking career, Jack?
It also could change the entire course of Philadelphia sports history.
Sure could, buddy.
It could. I mean, think about it. So let's say it works. Let's say he starts going off. He turns into Trey Turner. They win a World Series, and we're on the float.
We're on the float. Damn right. Better be on the float.
But like, imagine when there's the next struggling athlete. I mean, like,
I know.
It could legitimately like
be a thing.
But I just think it's gonna be hard to. I think it's gonna be hard to recreate that. I think with so there's a. The whole discourse this weekend, like, honestly bummed me out like it did. Like, it turned into something that it didn't need to turn into.
I totally agree with you.
Like, I think if we just boil it down to its simplest form, is that Trey Turner is our shortstop. He is, yes, we understand he's making $300 million. We were not giving a standing ovation, like, out of, like, because he deserved
great
it.
Great job, buddy. No.
What happened this weekend was people acted like human beings. Like, that's what it was. And that's why I was so emotional. And that's why, like, dude, it was impossible not to well up at the reaction on Friday.
No doubt.
And him getting a standing ovation and then him getting the hit, like it was cool. Like
fine.
It was fine.
Yeah, the single was nice. RBI hit, cool. Cool. Saturday.
Cool. And then the post game comments.
Yeah.
Where he talks about
it was
like
bleeping. We don't curse on this pod, but that was bleeping awesome or whatever.
It was really bleeping cool.
Yeah, really bleeping cool.
And then the mom quote. And the mom quote's obviously one that hits home for a lot of people.
All of it. We all have moms, man. Yeah. You know?
And that was cool. I really didn't anticipate the next night. Like
dude, no way. I thought maybe he'd get like a couple hits, a couple singles or whatever. I did, and it's not just that Trey Turner hit a home run in that spot. It was the most important hit of the weekend. Like they were down 6-5 late in the game. Like
it was trending towards disaster.
It wasn't like we're up 7-0 home run or we're down 7-0. Like that was a massive hit in the season, in the scope of the season, much less Trey in that moment.
And like just his emotion rounding the bases and the aggressive hugs he was giving out, and obviously like the curtain call, man, and the extra like fist pump at the end, like he let us like he you could tell he really appreciated
he
it.
Took a billboard out, dude. Like, immediately. Like, there was a billboard this morning. This just happened. There's a billboard out saying, thank you, Philadelphia. And I think you hit on something else that was important. And we heard it with Bryce's comments. We heard it with Bryson Stott's comments. We could see it when Nick Castellanos was standing on the top of the dugout waving the towel. Is that, like, this meant a lot to Trey Turner. And I think it could have really helped him get out of his head and move forward. But this meant a lot to that team. Mm-hmm. Every single player on that team was like, yo, like, this is our city. These are our fans. These guys love us. They have our backs. I mean, Bryce talked about it, and I thought a really little part in that quote was he's going on about how cool it was, and he talks about the chills and the I wish I had started my career, that all made it around. But he also, at the end of it, he goes, just throws in like, yeah, me and the guys have been talking about it, and then just keeps going on. It's like, they're talking about this.
Well, it's impossible not to.
Right, but the clubhouse is talking about us. Us. We always talk about them. That's what we do. That's our pod here, right? That's what we all do. They're talking about us this weekend. They're saying how cool was that they did that for him and for us. And that's, like, unique, man. That is unique.
And, you know, like, Stott wearing the Trey shirt on Friday. Really? It's like everyone knew that was going to happen. And I like that. So, first off, I'm surprised it was that loud on Friday.
So,
I thought it was going to be like a – I thought it maybe could crescendo into that.
So that's what I expected. I expected people to get up. I expected it to start enough people to get up where people are like, oh, I should get up right now. And then it would just turn into something. So
yes.
I expected to get there. To your point, from the jump, it was – I mean, more people got up, but from the jump, it was loud.
Well, and it seemed like that they were anticipating it too, because like the way that T-Mac set it up, it was like back in the day with Utley would come back or Rollins would come back or Harper or whatever. Like it was set up to the point where they thought something was going to happen. Thompson talked about it pregame. And they all kind of were like, we think so. Like, we're not like really sure. And everyone met the moment. And like the fans were just, that's a special, like, that's something I think we're going to talk about for a while.
We'll never forget it. Like, that was a special moment.
And especially, obviously, it'll help if Trey goes off and turns the whole thing around. And I think the biggest way you could tell that he was, like, way more relieved was, frankly, what he did in the field.
Yeah.
I mean,
and even the at-bats, too. Like, he wasn't flailing at first pitches every at-bat. Like, he seemed more composed.
Now.
I know.
The second at-bat on Friday, I think he was trying to hit the ball.
He was out of the ballpark. But as the weekend went on, it looked like he was in solid bats, too.
Yeah, but the defense. I mean, the defense, like, he's sliding, he's throwing, and he makes the final out on Saturday, which I thought was fitting.
Of course.
I felt good for him. Like, Overall, whether you're anti-ovation, whatever, I think that people all came around.
Some.
It was most. But it was a nice human moment. And it was nice to be able to take the salary out of it. And like, we know he's going to be able to feed his family. And they don't ever have to worry about money. And I understand you struggle and you have to pay for tickets and your hard-earned money. But like, it was just a good, honest, human, like, support one another moment, and that's why I love this place. Like, I think it's the coolest when we do stuff like that. You mentioned the teammates. I think how they played yesterday and how the Stars specifically played,
Casty bomb, Harper, like so close, that one on the wall,
two,
and then the big double, two of them, the double down the right,
Schwarber,
the big bomb in that spot.
I think it also relieved all those guys, and I think that it almost, we already have a love affair with this team because of the World Series run, but I think it's just going to bring us even closer. And there was a lot of talk pre-World Series run, like, they don't feel like our guys, you know, like they're all mercenaries. The World Series run and this weekend, I think, just brings us that much closer. Like, the Eagles, everyone loves. We're very close. But there's just something about this Phillies team and the fan base that they kind of feed off one another.
Dude, I'm so with you, and I think it intensified this weekend. Look, I said it after the run, during the run, and I'll say it forever until something beats it. Like, I've never been a part of a communal thing like the playoffs, and particularly the Harper Homer game.
Well, what
that.
About the Fish concert?
Well, that's the next closest thing. The Fish is the only thing I compare it to, the only thing I've ever felt like. I mean, you're right there. But seriously, like, I've never been a part of something that felt like this communal group joy and experience like that, where it was so magical and so loud and so special, and it did matter. Like, the players talked about how it mattered and all that. And I'm so with you, Jack. I think it brought us and these guys together, and this weekend was like another step forward in that, in this relationship between team and fans. And you don't think about, like, again, to the point of me before, like, we talk about these guys all the time, right? You know, we talk about Bryce Harper, we say his name a million times, all this stuff, like, but there is a both ways with it. It's communal. Like, they talk about us. They think about us being there. We can impact situations. We can impact games. And we can have real moments like we did this weekend. And to your point at the beginning about, like, I don't, like, look, I get the, you know, we're a tough town and all that. Like, I'm all for that. You know me. I hate Dallas. Dallas sucks. All that kind of crap. Whatever. I'm all in on it. Like, I am, I love the Philly thing. I love booing. If someone deserves to be booed, I'll do it. But, like, I just don't understand how anyone could have been against this weekend. Like, Trey Turner's going to be here for the next 10 plus years. Like, they signed him. Like, I just, what are we doing here? Do we want to be the fan base that we always joke about? Like, oh, national media are going to blame Philly for everything. Do we want that? Like, is that what we want to be viewed as? Like, we had a chance this weekend to show, like, hey, this is who we are and this is what we can do. And it was beautiful. Like, it was a beautiful thing.
Well, and that's why I just think people missed the point of it all. I think there's a lot of people that just couldn't understand. Like, they're like, oh, participation trophy, and I thought we were a tough fan base, and this guy's been a disappointment. And the what I kept going back to is, I don't know how you watched that interview, that post-game interview on Wednesday after the Marlins loss, and just didn't feel for the guy. And, like, why?
And then when you hear he was at the batting cage till midnight and the whole thing.
Exactly. Like, it was really the time to do it. It wasn't like if that interview.
It was that Saturday game against the Marlins that made it all happen. You're absolutely right. That's why.
Wednesday,
the Wednesday game against the game where he had the error that lost. He said, "I'm the reason we lost." That was the low moment.
And I don't think that, like, I it's hard to recreate having that and then turn into, like, it's just it was a special time for that, because of seeing a guy openly look like he's struggling to keep it together because he cares, and, like, we. All we ask for is you care, right?
Yeah, just try. Like, give us everything you got, man.
Right. And I just, it was a really, really special weekend. I don't think it was, like, it wasn't coddling. I love, being a tough fan base is a point of pride for me.
And not just that, it's our default. Like, that is what, we do that no matter what.
But I think that being able to also have the side of being there for someone who is clearly going through something, which Trey was, That's why I think it happened. I think that's why the movement happened. I think that's why people jumped on board with it. And, I'd say 75% of the city liked it, and 25% vocally did not like it. But I don't know how, after what happened Saturday and seeing his reaction.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I think it got up to maybe 90%, and there's still people, like, holding out, like, oh, it's stupid, whatever, yada, 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 it's the Royals. I think if you're a true Phillies fan, you're a true Philadelphian, this weekend was one of those moments we're going to talk about for a while.
I'm so with you. And look, I think I probably said this to you before, but I'm a big, and coaches say this, and I love it when coaches talk this way and stuff, but the idea of, like, not everyone responds to the same things. Like, you and I are similar. Like, if you yell at me, and I think you're the same way, if you yell at me, like, you're not getting the best out of me. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm gonna turtle up more. Like, I'm gonna be annoyed. I'm gonna be upset. If you tell me I'm great and you appreciate what I'm doing, I'm gonna work that much harder for you. Like, I'm an attaboy guy. Like, I think you're more of an attaboy guy than a get yelled at guy too. There are some people who need to get yelled at, right? There are some people who do need tough love. Like, every person's different. Every person responds when they are, you know, going through problems or adversity, whatever, in different ways. And, like, this whole, like, oh, just boo them thing. And again, we pay our hard-earned money. I am a supporter of the boo. I have booed. I will not rip people for booing if they think it's warranted. But, like, the ultimate goal is we're doing it to get them to play better, right? Like, we want Trey Turner to be better. And if this isn't working, like, why not try something different? Why not try something that ultimately the end goal, whether it's because you're booing or you're cheering in those situations, is to ultimately help the player move forward and be better, right? It's productive.
Well, and that's why I think the mom quote struck me probably the most of the weekend was because obviously he's frustrated.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's like down in the dumps about it. Jack,
he's never struggled like this in his life. Think about it.
He's talked about that a lot this week.
Because it's true, though. Think about it. I mean, he's never struggled in the majors. He obviously, to get to the majors, was the best on every team he ever played on in his life. Like, he's never gone through anything like this before.
Yeah. And knowing how he cares, you know, I think that's why it was such a his family, I think, you know, liked it as much as they did. But special weekend, and you mentioned it earlier, watching the development of Nick Castellanos into our guy,
like dude, my again, the curtain call was the moment of the season, but my second favorite just individual moment of the whole weekend was Casty with the towel. Yeah. Like, if I just pick an image, well, it's that.
And he's turning into I feel like Castellanos is like the pick you up when you're down guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they all are, but it feels like he's very in on.
It's like a put your arm around you guy.
He's a very in on, like, totally. I'm going to get you through this because I went through it last year. I don't think Castellanos needed what happened this weekend last year. Like, I think Castellanos was.
I think he's built differently,
He's different. Every human being is different. And I don't think, like, I don't think Castellanos needed that last year.
I agree.
You know? But I just, I've really, really enjoyed Castellanos and, you know, being at the top step and, like, I liked how into it they were. And like, if you thought it was corny, if you thought it was phony, the guys didn't. Like,
they clearly loved it.
And ultimately, that's all that matters.
It's a great point,
man. If the players liked it. And the players clearly did. I mean, they talked about it all weekend. They were on the top step. I mean, they're all into it. Like, when he goes out for the curtain call, first off, Thompson's a little like, mm-hmm. I like Rob Thompson.
Me too.
But like Stott's right next to him, like slamming the top of the thing. Like, they were in it for him. They were in it for the whole moment. And then, listen, that's what makes sports sports.
Hey, dude, you're right. And you know, I always joke about the Luke Williams thing, but that's why I love that moment. It was like a beautiful moment. This passes the Luke Williams moment.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. But to your point, it was like a beautiful moment in sports. And again, this communal experience where fans and players are sharing something and a part of something together. And to your point, that's such a great point, man. Like, if you come in being like, oh, it's phony, it's dumb or whatever, like, the players didn't think so. Like, those guys, I mean, these quotes, the Bryson Stott quotes about, you know, the national media, these people don't get it. Like, how amazing, I wouldn't want to play anywhere else. Like, all these guys, Harper, again, the chills, and I wish I started my career here. Like, for those guys, and I believe it. I mean, we watch a lot of baseball. Now, to be fair, this year, shout out, like, baseball has been selling out games. It's really exciting. Like, people are showing up for baseball games, which, as people who just want everyone to love baseball, it's a beautiful thing.
It's going
to
be another increase in yesterday,
well,
right?
Well, yeah, so there was a Saturday, I believe, was the biggest day of the year. I had a tweet, John Heyman put out a tweet. Here it is. Saturday marked our third time in two decades that each of the 15 MLB games drew more than 30,000 fans.
Yeah.
Like, third time in two decades. So, like, that is thrilling stuff. That's really exciting. But even still, like, I've watched a lot of baseball. We have the package, all that. There's a lot of empty games. There's a lot of, you know, games where the fans are not as into it and stuff. And if you're players, if you're Castellanos, you played in Detroit and Cincinnati, and you go to those places,
and
you got the Cubs. You got that moment there. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same. Like, it is not the same experience. And if you're those guys, like, why wouldn't you want to play in front of this real crowd that cares and is invested? It's the whole point of what you do, you know? So, it's awesome, man. And it's awesome, like, for Philly fans. We know, we're here, we talk about it, but, like, every time we get the opportunity, because we always do the, oh, no one likes us, we don't care. We do care. We always care. We really, truly do. It's like, good. Like, show this to the freaking world. Show the Alec Bohm moment last year to the world. Like, let everyone know. Show the playoffs to the world. Like, it's turning, man. Like, it's turning. The Philly fan thing is
Well, I think it's going.
I think it's going
from nasty to passionate.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
I think that's
It's a great way to phrase it.
The big turnaround, and part of that's because the vet's gone, and we've won some championships.
Yeah.
Like I mean, we did go from 83 to 2008 with nothing besides 93.
You don't gotta tell me, buddy.
So
yeah, I was there for it.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was really cool. Yeah.
And thank God they won 2 of 3.
Dude, well, that's the thing. I mean, especially that first night they don't win, and
right.
You know, Nola, we'll get to him in a sec. But yeah, it was the turning around, especially though, like just in general, as far as the 2 of 3 goes, I mean, everyone else lost this weekend. I mean,
yes.
The Marlins have lost like 6 straight, the Diamondbacks 5 or 6 straight,
dude,
the Reds 6 straight.
The Diamondbacks were 40-25.
Yeah.
And they're 14 games under 500 since that.
The Giants lost 2 out of 3. The A's, like...
That's embarrassing.
That is embarrassing. Exactly. I mean, the Phillies, all of a sudden, this is the first time all year that we have done the podcast, they have a 3-game lead on a playoff spot. Like, it's the Trey Turner stuff this weekend was huge, but this team is playing good baseball.
Well, honestly,
the
most important thing that happened this weekend is that, and I hope you're ready for it, and I hope the city's ready for it, this Bryce Harper run is going to be
insane. I agree with you. It's the biggest takeaway.
Like,
he's crushing the ball.
He's smoking the ball. Like, just absolutely smoking the ball. Should have had a couple homers yesterday.
I mean, that one literally jumped over the center field fence to catch it. I mean, what do you want to do there? That was a home run to center field.
He, like, just all weekend long looking locked in. And I think we mentioned it after the Marlins game, the Castellanos home run game.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled that ball early.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the moment of like I can rip it.
And it did it again this weekend. That double down the line,
111 miles an hour,
smoked that ball
off the bat. So I mean, listen, Turner was great, the crowd was great, but Bryce Harper is looking like Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. It was my biggest baseball takeaway from the weekend was the ball is flying off his bat. And we had Dombrowski on the morning show last week, and Joe asked him about like the power. Should we just not expect it to be the same this year? And he's like, listen. He's like, I expect it. And the reason is Bryce usually does his batting practice indoors or wherever. He's like, he's been doing it outdoors recently. We've been watching him. He's like, he's hitting balls further than everyone. Like in all the batting practice, he's the guy hitting the balls where no one else can hit them. Like the power's there. It's in there. And I was like, well, that's cool to hear because we had talked. I mean, I thought you had really good information when we started talking about this, about Shohei and about these guys who have had Tommy John surgery and a drastic decrease in their power. And obviously we've seen that. Man, like if Harper starts... being full Bryce Harper, and they're 10 games over 500 right now, and he hasn't been.
Yeah, I know. Well, and the thing is, like, I think if Bryce gets going, it almost just eases everyone. I mean, that's what happened.
We talk about that all the time.
That's what happened
like,
in the postseason.
Like, yeah, he's the metronome. He's the guy they all come off of.
He hit the home run against the Cardinals.
Consistency.
And then after that point, I believe he's batting like .450 before the World Series.
Yeah, he was.
Like, just like a stupid run.
Literally.
By Bryce. And yeah, I think he is definitely well on his way back. Alec Boehm in the 2-hole, like... It's been like the big. I'm just so happy.
Yeah, nailed one this time.
Finally.
Yeah. By the way, you know, like there are a couple guys who are not qualified. I think Bellinger's not qualified and stuff. But right now, Bryson Stott and Alec Boehm are 4-5 in the National League in batting average.
And
we have two guys in the top 5 in batting average.
And it's the Royals, so you don't want to go overboard with the offense. Like, are they back? Are they? And we would never go overboard.
No, we don't do that.
But the fact that they haven't even, in my opinion. Sniffed how good they could be.
I agree with that.
And they're 10 games over 500, 3 games up in a playoff spot. I said, I think they're the third best team in the NL. And I feel pretty confident.
We have
that.
The Dodgers second?
Dodgers second.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And then obviously the Braves
and
first.
And I think talent wise, this Dodgers team, I think they're more talented than this Dodgers team, but the Dodgers have played better.
Yeah.
But.
The only thing holding me back from so last year, I think I felt confident in the team. Eventually getting in, eventually figuring it out because of the 1-2 in the rotation. And the problem with this year's team, and I think the offense is slowly turning a corner. It's the Royals, so it's hard to tell. But the Nationals are coming in. They play, I think, 30 of their last 48 all at home, or 49.
Yeah, they got a ton of home games left.
The thing is they have a one-wheeler, and then you have no idea what you're getting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know what I mean? Like, I know because now they're going 6-man. If Nola was just pitching better, I think we could start selling like World Series. Here comes a run. And he's just not doing it. He's just not doing it. And yes, Taiwan Walker has 13 wins.
Guy just guts it out, man. Well, I mean, that like in the first inning thing is weird. There have been guys like that. Like I remember Tom Glavine was a big sucks in the first inning and then is awesome after it.
Well, Taiwan Walker is like most aces.
Yeah.
Like you got to get to him early.
That's right. Yeah. That's a good point.
You got to get to him early. Yeah. It is a good bit coming out throwing 86.
It's unbelievable. It's like three times in a row or whatever.
I know. So, but it's like everyone freaks out the first inning and then you wake up in the
settles in and he throws seven for you and he gets a win every freaking time.
Yeah, it's
we have a 20 game winner this year in Philly. Like what?
Pretty good bet.
Go on.
It's a good bet. But you know, Taiwan Walker, fine, but he's not a two.
No.
Ranger, just not right now.
Hit or miss.
Hit
man.
Or miss.
Yeah.
Chris Sanchez, I don't think he's that bad. I thought he was fine.
And the game kind of got away from him in spots. Like you know, that was a weird game too.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not like raising a red flag on Chris Sanchez. I thought it was just a weird game. But yeah, it's just like you have Zach Wheeler who is back to being Zach Wheeler, and then a bunch of like I have no idea what I'm gonna get. Now, could they get hot in the postseason and
because they're talent there. I mean all those guys you mentioned
and
like,
Lorenzo was really good in his first
Lorenzo
start.
Yeah, Lorenzo was great in his first start, but you know, we're not counting on that. But I mean we know what Nola can be. We know what like Taiwan and Ranger, especially Ranger in big spots, like it is possible those guys out and go out and deal in the playoffs. It's certainly possible.
But I think and you know me, like no one's quicker to go all in and this is a run.
Yes.
The Nola thing is the thing holding me back from that.
Well, let's get into Friday. Again, especially with the Trey Turner night, like, I guess it was predictable. He is the most frustratingly predictable, maybe Philly of all time. Like, it's just, a lot of people watching, Trey Turner, big night, they got a lead, yep. Like,
2-0, 4-2, and then
it was just so, and it was 2-0, and then he almost gives it up in that first inning, then gets out of it, and then, of course, the next inning comes back. All right. So, I mean, I know you don't have the answers because no one does, but what do you do? Like, I mean, if I'm the Phillies right now, like, screw my six-man rotation. Like, I'm sitting Nola down for a month. Like, they dare 3 weeks like they did with Wheeler last year. Like, I don't know what other option they have right now. You know, they gave him 5 days rest. That didn't work great. Like, how do you just keep saying, all right, Aaron, go out and keep doing this? Like, at least maybe if you get him some time off, then maybe he's good for the playoffs.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I know.
I think you got to keep pitching him, hope he figures it out.
Right. Yeah, just pitch through it, Aaron.
Yeah. I know you struggled against the Royals and Pirates, too, juggernauts.
Yes.
But I know he has value. I know what he brings to the table. It's just like, I'm pretty over watching him.
I hate it. He is super frustrating to watch. Like, the most frustrating.
Yeah, well, it's just like,
especially because we know what's in there. We've seen it.
I know.
It does.
And he's back throwing 96 again. Like
you know what's a real bummer is at the beginning of the year, when we first start opening day, we might even say that game, but certainly after the first couple starts, we're like, uh-oh, I hope this isn't 09 Hamels. And now it's freaking August, and it's like, it's 09 Hamels, except maybe worse.
Yeah. I mean, his ERA is, what,
four and a half. I think. It was 4.43 going into that last start. So, you know, over 4.5.
Yeah. I mean, sure, if you want to try sitting him,
What else? What else, though? Like, keep rolling him out?
But it's like, he's throwing 95 still. I mean, it's just command. Like, I have no answers anymore. He is a conundrum of all conundrums here. And we can't keep doing the pitch clock thing. And every time he has a good start, it's like, I figured it out. It's just not his year.
Yeah.
It's not Aaron Nola's year. He did this in 21.
So how about this? Let's say they don't sit him. Let's say Aaron Nola just continues to be Aaron Nola. Maybe he has a couple good starts in here, and then the rest are, you know, six innings, four runs, one of these bad ones, whatever. Not what will the Phillies do, because I think we know what they're going to do. They're going to pitch Aaron Nola in the playoffs. Would you? The season continues on the exact trajectory that he's been on. The season ends. The Phillies make the playoffs.
God.
Is Aaron Nola in your playoff rotation?
Yes.
Wow, really?
He's still in there.
Wow.
He's still
in
there.
I don't know if I'd do it, man.
It might cost him a World Series like Hamels did in 09. But I'm just going to keep riding him. Wow. I'm going to keep riding him.
Just because the upside is so much better
Who am I putting in that situation besides him? Like Lorenzen?
Well, yeah, Walker, Ranger, Lorenzen.
Well, those guys.
You know, they're struggling right now, but like, let's put it this way. Like, both struggling right now. I will give Ranger the ball in a big game before I give it to Nola 100 times out of 100 right now.
Well, sure. That's fine.
But that's the that's what we're discussing.
I know. And they in 09 they went out and got Pedro. You know, they had to get reinforcements for a bad Hamels. I'm just going to keep riding him, and I'm going to keep trusting him and hope that some point he figures it out. He's super frustrating, but maybe we can give him a nice standing out.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, it's funny, of course. Why are you giving Nola one? Guys.
I know. Relax.
You know, come on. All right. All right. I want to get some of the other stuff from this weekend, the good and the bad. Shout out to Miller Lite. We love Miller Lite. Presented by Miller Lite. Shout out to the Miller Lite Bar of the Week. One of our favorites, JT Brewskis. Love JT Brewskis. Our Miller Lite Bar of the Week is JT Brewskis Pub in Primos, PA, where you can watch all the Phillies games with a $3.50 Miller Lite pint special. Go to JT Brewskis Pub or JTBrewskiPub.com for more information. Shout out to Miller Lite as the Phillies. Miller Lite, big Miller Lights for Phillies win weekend the last weekend.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
All right, I want to get some stuff. Let's start with the bad. We already talked Nola, the Marsh injury.
Yeah.
Looked, honestly, knee contusion was great news considering when it first happened. Even though it didn't look like it was one of those non-contact type injuries type things, it still had that feel of like, oh God, like he can't put weight on it. Did he just tear his ACL? How concerned are you about them being without Marsh for potentially 3 weeks, a month? Who knows how long it lingers?
Yeah, not great. Definitely not great because I like having Brandon Marsh out there and the defense of Rojas and center and Marsh and left. We'll see if, he's probably going to be back before Pache, but who knows. But listen, I'm still not sold on the hit tool. We'll see. But being able to watch Johan Rojas every day,
yeah, man,
it's been a fun experience.
Yeah.
And just like the way he just like glides back and there's like, I have no anxiety that he's just going to like do his thing.
Totally.
And the reads he gets on fly balls are insane. I mean, between him and Pache, it's like these guys are out of control with how good they are defensively.
Well, we talked all last year about how great it was to see Marsh here and the reads he would get on balls compared to what we had been watching. And both Pache and Rojas are better. Yeah. And there's a reason that Marsh moves to left or right field when those guys are healthy and playing center field, you know?
Totally. It just seems like Rojas, something good happens every time he's out there. Like the bunts.
I agree with you. It feels like he's had a lot of big RBI hits and stuff like that. Like for the time he's been here.
It wasn't even a good bunt on Saturday. The guy fell down.
I know,
but like.
But do you know what? If Rojas fell down and still beat it out, that was pretty impressive too.
So like the Marsh injury is obviously not great, but like. I just want to see what Johan Rojas can do. I feel like good things happen when he's on the field.
Well, and look, hopefully to the point you made earlier in the pod, now is the time where this weekend not just got Trey going, but Bryce's power, Castellanos, 7-game hitting streak, had that tank shot, Schwarber with the big homer.
Thank God the July Castellanos is not like the rest
buddy.
Of the season Castellanos.
Right. Well, he's been it's weird. If you look, he's been great in even months and bad in odd months this year. I saw someone tweet that. So, weird. He had a bad May, but a great June, bad July, good April. Anyway, file that away. So, for what it's worth, October and even month, just saying.
Good.
But if these guys get going and can help, because I mean, Marsh, like we just said, it hurts when you have both Marsh and Rojas out there defensively to not have Marsh. But in terms of center field defense, they are not losing anything with Rojas out there every day. It's more the fact that Marsh has been OPS-wise their best hitter all year and certainly one of their more productive guys consistently. So
also
it's those other guys. If those other guys step up while Marsh is out, then it's okay, no problem.
Been pretty good in RBI situations. Yeah. I feel like there's been a couple times last week where it's two outs. They have a chance to, of course, blow it by not scoring a run with runs in scoring position, which is what they're known for at this point. And it feels like Marsh gets a hit.
I agree with you. Yeah, I think other than Bohm, who clearly gets the most hits in those situations, I would say Marsh might be the second one that comes in my mind in terms of those specific type of situations.
Yeah. So, I think that they can almost mask it as long as, pretty much all, it's funny, all we were asking for Marsh at the beginning of the year was just go play good defense.
Great defense.
And anything from the bat, we'll take. Also, Rojas has to lead like the league in fly balls that look like home runs off the bat.
Oh, I know.
That end up like not being home
not
runs.
Not even close, usually. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a short left field. It's like,
now, the one over the weekend was smoked, and I thought that was going to go out. I was surprised it didn't go out. But I feel like there's been three where it's like, oh, there it is, first homer. It's like they all just die. Like they all just run out of steam.
Yeah, it does seem like
he's perpetually hitting into a wind gust.
Well, yeah, but yeah, you're right. It feels that way because it feels like he hits the ball hard, but then the ball doesn't seem to go as hard as it felt like he hit it.
I know.
You know?
Unless it's on the ground, but like when he tries to lift it,
no, yeah,
it's almost like there's a 40-mile-an-hour wind blowing in.
I will say too, I do think he's one of those guys. It seems like he brings an energy to the all the guys talk about funny is to be around and all that stuff. I think that helps. Stott. Just keeps freaking, dude. Like seriously, where would this team be without Bryson Stott? I guess probably the MVP of the team, right on August 7th. If we had to choose one, if you had to pick an MVP of the team this year,
yeah, I guess Castellanos in July.
Yeah, Castellanos was one of the names you would think. I mean, Harper, even without the time, is. But I think it's probably Bryson Stott. I mean, think about the defense. That play was it yesterday or 2 days ago? I think it was yesterday. The diving.
Oh, the dive. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he is. I mean, this guy, dude, he's batting .303. Yeah. He's a 25-year-old kid in his second year in the major leagues.
And the opposite field home run.
Dude, the first of his career, which was surprising because of how well he hits the ball over the field. Joe Giglio put out a tweet with, through their age 25 seasons. Uh-oh. Now, Utley was a part-time player at the time, so it's like not apples to apples, but still, like, you know, you put out the numbers, and Bryson Stott right now has been a better player at the age of 25 than Utley was. And I'm not, you know, there, and I don't think he'll ever have the power Utley did and stuff. But, I mean, like, Bryson Stott's going to be a really good player for a really long time, man. I mean, I have full faith in this guy.
Oh, and he keeps raising his ceiling. I mean, like
totally.
I thought it's
batting .303.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows as the power continues to develop. And he's like, you know, the big thing that ailed him last year is like 95 plus up. Got no problem with that.
No problem.
Now he's ripping into the corner and whatnot. So he'll never be like, you know, a super superstar, but like he's turned into a star on this town.
But he could win a batting title.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, assuming Luis Arias gets traded out of the National League at some point.
For sure.
He's gonna win the next eight. Like he could though. Like that he has that ability with the bat and the hit tool.
He is just, again, I just love him. Like he's been I think the highest mark you could label on a baseball player.
He's a
ball player.
I know. I love it.
He's just a ball player.
That's the best like thing you could say about a player. I will say too, I think that he is the person this season who has in a positive way changed Phillies fans' opinion of him the most. Like people liked him and people were like, oh, nice young player. I think this season basically all Phillies fans are like, oh wow, this guy is like a massive part of our future. You know?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. And plays a Gold Glove caliber second base.
Like, phenomenal.
They might have a 425 the next 7 years. 7 years. A 300-ish hitter that plays Gold Glove caliber second base.
Think about that, dude. Think about that.
That the Phillies drafted.
So shout out
they didn't have to sign him.
Yeah, like we actually drafted. And the 14th pick, like Bohm was the third pick in the draft. And granted, you know, in baseball, it doesn't mean you're going to hit. We all know.
That class ended up being nuts, by the way. Do you know what else?
The Bohm class?
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's Rutschman. It's Bobby Witt. Yeah. It's Corbin Carroll.
Oh, my God. Rutschman and Witt were the first two picks?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And Corbin Carroll, too?
He was after Stott.
Wow, dude. Yeah, I know he's after Bohm, obviously.
No, there's more, too, I think.
Wow. Wait, the Stott class or the Bohm class?
The Stott class.
Wow. Yeah, Corbin Carroll's good.
Hold on. The Stott class, real quick. Rutschman, Witt, Andrew Vaughn, J.J. Bleday, Riley Green, C.J. Abrams, Lodolo, Josh Jung.
This is nuts. Like, all these guys are having great, or at least a lot of them having really good seasons.
Langoliers, Manoa.
Especially for all these guys to be up and contributing like this already.
Stott, Carroll, George Kirby.
Wow, dude.
That's all the first round.
This is an insane first round.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, dude. Yeah. That is like, wow. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. I mean, Rutschman and Carroll, you could argue like.
Well, Witt. I mean.
Well, Witt too. All three, you could argue. Like, I mean, I'm saying, like, I mean, Corbin Carroll has freaking 20 homers and 35 stolen bases as a rookie.
Yeah.
And we're two-thirds of the way through the season.
Well, and Witt's the first player in baseball history to have 20 and 30 first 2 years. And Rutschman, they haven't been swept since he's...
And Rutschman's just a winner, that guy's.
By the way, Bobby Witt, I've never seen a player... So when I was watching Aiden Miller, mm-hmm. all the draft stuff and whatever, I never could put a finger on his finish, like how he finishes his swing.
Oh, it's Bobby Witt.
Looks like Bobby Witt.
Oh, well, I'll take it.
Believe me. I think we'd all take it.
I would be pretty all right with that. All right, our buddy John Wheeler. Shout out John Wheeler. We love you, buddy.
Our boy.
He DM'd me and asked me a question. He said, would you try and sign Stott right now? Long-term deal.
Well, I mentioned that after opening day.
You mentioned
day.
It early in the season. Now we've got even more evidence. Like,
So I just don't know if they want to add another $20 million like thing to their payroll.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if they don't have to.
So it's like the value of it isn't worth the few million you save by doing it now isn't worth the flexibility that you have if you keep him cheap for a little while. It makes sense.
Yeah, and they need the flexibility.
They definitely do. And look, they have a while with him. He's got, like 5 years of team control.
That's the difference between this and the Braves. Like, the Braves don't have big contracts.
Well,
and
again, the Braves put guns to the guy's head and forced them to sign. It's a different, we don't do that here. Yeah, so, you know, unbelievable. All right, what else did I have? I think that's all I got until we get to final thoughts and all that good stuff.
All right.
Take that!
All right. Rob Thompson has an addiction, James.
Ooh.
Do you want to know what it is?
Is it righty-lefty?
No.
Okay.
No. It is putting Matt Strom out there for 2 innings.
It's like every time. The second inning is never as good.
It feels like it never works out. So
especially like you're trying to save his innings on. It's like, I'll just go 2 again.
Yeah. I need Jose Alvarado back. 100%. I still think not getting a reliever at the deadline is gonna end up being a bigger deal than not getting a bat. I just think they need one more. The Kimbrel tip.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I like Jeff Hoffman and Marte, but like, do we want those guys in the 8th inning of a tie playoff game? Because that's the way this team has been playing these things.
Hoffman, I trust definitely more than Marte.
I do too. I like both. But again, this is like, and again, both these guys, Hoffman, you know, you're like the innings are a thing with this team. I mean, Kimbrel's going to set a career high if he stays on his pace. Strom is like,
Kimbrel's setting a career high this year?
He was on his way. I don't know if he still is, but like maybe not quite anymore, but he was on a high pace. He was at like 45 or 46 innings, 47 innings, something like that. Like, I mean, Strom obviously has already pitched more than he had the last 2 years combined. Like
Lorenzen.
Yeah. Another good point going from start reliever to starter. Like, so, it's something they're gonna have to manage.
Yeah. And they do have some depth in Bilotti and Brogdon that could come up. The problem is that they're still throwing a AAA. So it's not like they're just sitting there with ice on their arms.
Exactly.
But, getting another arm back there would have eased a lot of my tensions. Now, the one thing, I just want to know if you're ready for it.
Uh-oh.
Griff's coming.
Oh, you think it's happening?
I think.
Because this was last year. We had like a similar timing, actually. You talked about this. You said, like, looking at guys for a playoff run, who do we have in the system who can come up and give us 2 innings at a time or whatever? And you were like, just saying, like, Griff's not the craziest idea.
Well, especially because Griff the last month has heated up. Like,
he's been awesome.
He's not walking people. I think so. When they were dying for a fifth starter, I think he felt the pressure because Andrew Abbott came up. And like turn into this nasty rookie for the Reds, and he's like, "Well, now I got to go up and make the big leagues like right now." And it felt like every time watching him, he was trying to make the big league.
Yeah.
And then he calmed down and got back to being the Griff McGarry we've seen. I just think that if you're going six man and you don't have as many guys in the bullpen, like you're down an arm in the bullpen, having a guy that can go multiple innings like Griff can would be a lot. Would provide a lot of value. So he's in AAA now. I just think that that's the next logical progression for him.
Makes sense.
I know they lost the game, but there was like such cool baseball stuff going on with Kimbrel tipping pitches. And like,
oh, I know. Dude, great point because we didn't talk about that. Like him, I've never seen that. I've never seen someone take an intentional balk to get the guy off second base. I've never seen it in my life watching baseball.
Yes. And that was strictly because he didn't want them
to steal the signs. Like I'm saying, I've never seen that before.
I wasn't stealing. It's what he does.
Or see the tip. You know what I mean? Not the signs.
With his glove. I know they lost.
It was nerdy baseball.
That was cool baseball stuff. That was cool. Because all of a sudden he comes out and you're looking at him and he's like, looks at the umpire and he just drops the ball.
That was unbelievable.
What's going on here?
It's cool that he thought to do it. I mean, you know.
Well, they lost, but yes.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, if they're you're, like, that's a good thought. Like, if they're
well, maybe don't tip pitches and then you don't.
Yeah, well, that would be the best way to go about it. Yes, or you know, yeah, good thought.
Well, because like then immediately the camera pans over and Yuli Gurriel is like, here's what he's doing with his hands, and like it's like, well, don't do that.
Don't do that. Yes, you've been around way too long to be doing that.
Yes, we don't need that as we're trying to win a World Series. I thought the team reactions to Marsh on the field, I thought was like a special moment too.
Yeah, like you could feel it.
Like Schwarber, like helping him, holding him up almost in a way. It was like, ah.
Well, it made me think it was way worse. Like, I'm actually really happy that was part of the reason the bone contusion, I was like, great, you know, because I was, when it was happening, I said to Emily, I was watching with her, and I was like, I always, and I think it's way more true in football, but like, you can kind of tell how bad an injury is by the way the players on the field react to it. Like in football, when those guys like turn and they're like, get over here, you're like, oh, this is a bad one. Like, you know, it's a bad one, you know, whereas I think the way the players reacted, like it was like they were shell shocked. Like they were like, "Oh God, I hope he's okay," and came over and all that. So I'm happy it wasn't worse.
Close team,
they care about each other.
A close ball club, which is important. There is nothing funnier to me than I love T-Mac. There is nothing funnier to me than when the official scorer screws up what they think is the wrong scoring decision and it turns into like a 10-minute,
oh,
like,
buddy.
This is hurting the sport.
Oh, it's
like,
great.
And my thing is like, I just like, whatever. I don't care how they score it. Yeah. But they get so worked up about the scoring decisions. And I appreciate the passion for making sure that the scorebook is correct. It's just, I don't care.
I care more than you. I get their point. It is getting ridiculous. It does. And I heard some, I can't remember who I heard say it, but someone said that they think that baseball is actually pushing it to try and get hits up and average up and numbers up and all that, which is right? Like, interesting thought. But like, it has felt like this year and even last year, but the last couple of years, it's like agreed. Like that Trey Turner play in Miami, like, come on, man. Like, that's not a hit. Josh Bell doesn't get a hit there. Like, seriously. And ultimately, like,
it doesn't matter.
Well, it does if you play fantasy baseball. It certainly does, right? You could have your pitcher starting error. They give him a hit. You get like 6 earned runs against. You could have been none. Like, come on, it can matter, Jack. All right, buddy, come on.
It's just fantasy baseball. It's just whatever. I love it. I love the passion for the scoring decisions. It's just like, it turns into, like, it's so rare you hear T-Mac go, like
get
old
fired
guy.
Up. Yeah.
But, like, old guy yelling at the cloud. He gets so mad about the scoring decisions.
Tom, I'm with you, buddy. Don't let Jack bring you down.
I'm not bringing him down. I love
T-Mac.
Keep it
coming, pal.
I just think it's funny. Fair to say that yesterday's game against the Royals on August 4th.
Wow. Hey, now.
No, it's not even August 4th.
No, yeah. It was August 7th, 6th yesterday.
August
today
6th.
Is the 7th, yes. Nailed it.
That it had the same exact feel as game 4 of the NLCS.
So
they went down 3-0. They came right back to make it 3-3. They go down 4-3.
Oh, good call.
It was like it played out the exact same way.
Of the LCS, you threw me off because I was thinking World Series. I was like, the no-hitter?
No.
Gotcha. Yeah, it does. That's a great call.
It was like the exact same.
Also, why does it that the CBP wall only hurts our players? Like Rowan, Marsh, freaking Chaz McCormick was totally fine after that one. Like, what the hell?
So you're calling for the...
There's something going on here.
Take it out on someone else.
Yeah.
Other thing.
Yes, I'm calling for other players to get hurt.
Exactly right. That's good. Yeah. Official statement from James Seltzer.
Yes.
Shame on the Royals for not letting Greinke bat.
It was so bummed. I was so excited for it. And just let the guy hit. Come on.
You're 34. Five and whatever.
Yes, you are screwed no matter what. All right, it was a fun moment for all of us. National League Park, get to see a pitcher hit again.
I know, bring back the good old days of pitchers hitting. I feel bad for Greinke. He's just so not good anymore at all.
Yeah,
like it was like Schwarber hitting that 700 feet was the most predictable home run of the year.
Yeah, you know what though? I think Greinke's okay. He'll be fine.
I know. I was like, wow, he's really done. Like, just
yeah, he's gone.
Just very done.
He's very good.
He's turned into strictly an innings eater.
Yeah.
Zach Greinke, who...
Hall of Famer? I don't think so, but like, a great career. Like, but he's in the discussion. I don't think a Hall of Famer.
Dude, he's been around since 2004.
It's forever.
And he was terrible when he first came up.
Yeah.
And he turned into...
He's had a great career.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really has.
Also a good grid guy.
Oh, yeah. He's had some teams.
Yeah, he's been on
By
a lot.
The way, I was going to ask you. I wasn't going to, but I may as well... Better night on Saturday, Trey Turner or me with my grid?
It was a good grid.
And it was me. I had the better night.
Would you
Trey just hit a home run.
Did you have 11?
It was 7 and it got moved down to 6.
Oh,
so I actually ended up with a 6, which is by far, I will never, the only time I have a chance with that is the all-stat ones. That's the only time I will ever have. That was as wheelhouse as it gets.
Yeah.
That was super fun.
A lot of .06s.
Yeah.
.07.
Crushing it.
Yeah. It's Big stuff out of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a fun little grade today. I like the teams ones because I like being able to figure out who played on multiple teams.
I know you do.
Yeah,
I know you do.
That's what I like.
Yeah, I'm a stats guy.
Yeah, no, you're
I'm a media guy. It's all about the stats.
Analytics geek.
Yes, that's me. That's what they call me.
Yep.
What else? You got anything else in the bag?
Final thought is.
Yes.
How many times did you think about the video yearbook? With the Trey moment.
So, inside baseball, inside our baseball guys text with me, Elliot, and Jack. Very funny moment where, for me, it was funny because Elliot says, I'm in for the morning show tomorrow. Wouldn't it be hilarious if they took my comments about Trey Turner and used them for the video yearbook? And Jack responds, I've already thought about it. And I was
like, yeah, 100% I thought about
it. I can't believe
no,
that
Elliot,
entered your mind.
Elliot getting into the World Series DVD is a top five worst moment in my life. It is sickening.
I mean, it was outrageous.
It's ridiculous.
A travesty, ridiculous
that he got in there. But this is the year that I avenge him. This is the year.
I mean, if you're not in it this year, I mean,
I'm never
on.
Getting it.
You're getting a shout out on SportsCenter. Shout out Max McGee. Thanks, buddy. And you can't get on the freaking yearbook. What are we doing here?
Yeah, only me and neighbor Dan care as much about the yearbook.
I know it's true. It's funny too because it's like. It would really matter. Like, this is not like, you know, this would be a seminal moment in your life to get in this thing.
Yes. You show Walker it. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. I got in the video
of
yearbook.
I'm proud of you right now, Walker.
Yeah. And then as we turn on the 2004 video yearbook and just start starting there and carrying on.
Oh, taking him through? Is that the plan?
We'll see.
Yeah. I like this. Yeah. I like this idea.
That's how I learned.
Your dad sat you down?
No, I did it on my own.
I know. That's why I said that.
I did it on my own.
Ross, not as big a baseball guy as you are.
Not at all.
Which is pretty funny, actually, because, like, you know, you are, like, again, as anyone listening knows, like, as big a baseball fan as I know, like, on the planet. And, you know, usually it's the dad. Your dad didn't get you into it.
It was my granddad.
That makes sense.
Yeah, my granddad. Right?
My dad was a huge baseball fan.
I know. Yeah. So Walker's going to learn.
Walker will be a baseball fan. Walker will be a player, a fan, all that stuff. There's no avoiding it. Some courses you just set your kid on, and that's what's going to happen.
Yep. I tried. The idea of like, he can do whatever. and of course, he can do whatever. But baseball, I need it.
I'm not asking much of you, kid, all right? Yep. I don't even care you're doing school. Just play baseball.
Okay? I do not care. zero. I do not care.
No.
I do not care how he does in school.
Just freaking throw.
Just be a Phillies fan with me. You know what I mean?
Right? You need to play just to watch games with me.
Yeah, please. Let me have someone to hang out with.
I will say, Zoe, all in on the Phillies. Like, comparatively, you'll love this. She called, if the Eagles even get brought up, she'll say, go Phillies.
Nice.
If there's, an Eagles thing on her, she'll be like, oh, go Phillies.
Yep.
I'm like,
that's why.
You got it.
Yeah,
She's got it.
Yeah. Big Zoe guy.
She gets it.
Yeah, she does. She 100% gets it.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
All right, you got anything else?
Just what a weekend.
What a weekend.
It was a beautiful August Like, there's nothing going on. Good weekend for everyone involved. And oh, I want to give a special shout out to Mitch Rupert, who like
Shout out to Mitch. He was right there with you on that.
I didn't see his tweet until after I tweeted.
Was it before?
It was before.
Okay.
And he definitely got the ball rolling as well. So I want to make sure that because Mitch didn't get
Mitch didn't get any credit. Mitch, yeah. You deserve some credit. 100%. I agree. And look, in all honesty, like it was a thing where I think, like, you know, people get mentioned stuff, but like this was a moment for all of us.
Yeah.
Like as Philadelphia fans,
yes.
Like, this was cool, man. Like when people turn on SportsCenter, they're seeing Philadelphia fans like doing something awesome and something special and something meaningful that all of us are gonna remember. Like, you know, I no matter what happens from now, and obviously if Trey is great from now, it adds to a million. Like this has the chance to become even more special. But no matter what, just by itself, this weekend was a special weekend. Like I love to say this, but it's because it's freaking true. Is we spend so much of our lives, so much of our time, of our free time, of whatever, like watching this team, loving this team, buying merchandise for this team, talking about this team, thinking about this team, like, and you know, sadly, in our lifetimes, we've gotten very little. You know, we've won one championship. We don't get to summit the mountain. Like, you don't get weekends like this all the time being a Phillies fan. We just haven't. In our lifetimes, we just haven't. And it was a special one. And whatever happens forward, like, no matter what, like, that was awesome.
Yeah. And, like, I'm just saying, the national media, don't let Trey get hot.
Oh, there it is.
Because there's no one.
And there it is.
There's no fan base that would love to celebrate that we did it more than that. Like, it would not go well for a lot of people involved if Trey, like, turns into, like, he bets 330 the rest of the year.
Can you imagine, dude? Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, he did look way better.
Did. Again, it felt like it looked it.
And he talked on Saturday, and it was like, yeah. That's been the whole point. He's like mentally, it was reassuring that I'm not going to go out there and get booed, essentially.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that was the whole point. That was the whole point.
It was literally why it happened.
That's why it happened, okay? And he said that. So, it was special. And again, for everyone involved, do not let Trey get hot.
Do not let Trey get hot, baby. What a weekend. It was awesome. Nationals, was it three or four? Four, right?
Four, all at 640.
Taking four?
No.
Three?
The Nats have won, like...
Nats have been good. Well, that's the thing about the Royals. We get the Royals on a six-game win, and it turned out to be seven when they won. Like, we're getting the bad teams at the bad times. Like, the Nats were good this weekend.
Yeah.
Handled
they
the Reds.
They swept the Reds.
Yeah.
And I don't like that the Bryce quote is now making its way around. Like,
I know.
I wish
a little
he started.
Like... It's like right as they're coming into town. And for what it's worth, like, he was clearly not taking a shot at Washington. It was clearly a all-about-Philly thing, like... Don't get butthurt over it. But you're right. Like, someone will take it the wrong way.
Well, and if I was Davey Martinez.
I would, too. I'd be like, boom, look at this.
Yep. This is what he said about this franchise.
Yep.
Yep. Kevin Franzen.
And all those lifelong Nats in the life will go out and get crazy.
Yep, all those legendary Nationals players. Yes. Patrick Corbin's going to really muster up the strength.
He is the one. They got one. Is he the only guy left from the World Series team?
Has to be. Well, Strasburg, technically.
Yeah, I'm talking guys who, like, we will see when they're, like... I think that's it, right? I mean, maybe there's a bullpen guy missing.
Well, but... Will Harris, I feel like, is not pitching forever.
Yeah.
Daniel Hudson's on the...
I mean, that's pretty crazy. That was 2019. Like, it's not like it was forever ago,
It's very Marlins-esque.
It is. I mean, that's usually teams have, like, a dude who hangs around or whatever, a couple dudes or whatever. Yeah. Wow.
No one.
All right. Well, there you go. All right, well, let's beat the non-champion Nats.
Yeah, well, very non-champion, actually.
very, very
non-champion.
All right, we'll be back later in the week. Everyone, like, this was special. Definitely, it's okay to enjoy things, and it's okay to love our team, and sometimes even tell them we love them. Until next week, or until later this week. He's Frith and Seltzer.
Nerd! Losers.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.